As we open our evening service, we might look to the Lord, our Father and God. Thank you for your word, your work, and your grace. Set aside these moments as we have sung and gathered together on your day. God, in the light of all the days that have passed, in the light of all the days that lie ahead. So, Father, we're right here looking to have you help us in every way as we proceed in these times. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And if we may, in the light of everything, looking, if I can, and if you turn in your Bible to 1 Chronicles and chapter 12. And David, 1 Chronicles 12, verse 22. And David is looking to go forward, and God brings to him all of the men, a great host of them, all special men. Otherwise, they step out of the woods and out of the everywhere villages to join him. And verse 22, at that day, at that time, day by day, they came to David to help him, until it was a great host, like a host of God. A great army was developed. Now, 1 Chronicles 12, sliding over, what kind of help did he have? Verse 12 and 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, the chief of the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. So here's all of these men of Issachar, and these men know what to do. Here's all of Israel, here's David, knowing going in and out, God blessed him. These were men that understood the times, and they know what to do. Is there someone we need to be able to understand the times? If you don't understand the times, you're going to be taken down the corridor without understanding it, and you're going to get to where you never would think you could have gone to. So, here we are in 1 Corinthians 12, and they understood the times to know what to do. That's our emphasis. In order to have that, because we looked at the heart this morning, surrounded by all the things the disciples had in the light of the death of Christ and all of the attitude of crucify him, and everything else going on. The circumstances of their times were overwhelming to them, and sorrow had filled their heart. Now, so our times, there's their times, we have our times. Over, if you would please, to Luke, Gospel of Luke and chapter 12. God took care and helped David so that they would know what to do and how to handle everything as it was happening, going to happen. So now, having said that, in first Luke chapter 12, picking up if I can, over in verse 32. And in 51, I should say. Luke chapter 12, verse 51. Suppose ye, said the Lord, I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, no, but rather division. I didn't come to make everything nice and rosy. That isn't why I came. Verse 52. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided, 3 against 2, 2 against 3. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Verse 54. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. Verse 55. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there shall be heat, and it cometh to pass. Verse 56. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern the time, this time? You pay attention to all kinds of things that are important, the price of gas and everything. How come you aren't paying attention to the time? You aren't discerning what's really happening. That's what we're hitting. And I thought of it today a little bit. We could be a traditional church, which we, God help us all, and do stuff. And we'd have the everything, the Bible like we do it. But that, as I watch it and see it in my mind, that isn't going to help us discern the times to know what to do. It is happening so fast. It's happening on a weekly basis. Weekly. Things are happening so fast by the week. We aren't talking months, we're talking weeks, just like that. All kinds of ways taking place. We don't even know them, all of them. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, God has to give us understanding. Therefore, over to Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, and picking up, please, in verse 15, we'll do it. 5 and 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, most carefully, most very, very, very attentive to watch what you're doing. See that you walk circumspectly with great concern, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. The Lord said, a minute ago we read it, you discern, you don't pay attention to what's happening. Now, what's happening in the world? Back then, let alone now. Verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if you can, to over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 14. And keeping in mind, the days are evil. They should have discernment. They needed to have discernment. And chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, and in the light of the context, may I go directly to verse 20. Brethren, be not children, little young, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice, badness, be ye children. Don't learn how to think wrong, do wrong, come out wrong. Don't do that. But in understanding, be men. God, what are you looking for? You're looking for us to understand. You want us to understand. No question about it. Over to 2 Timothy. And picking up, if I can, in 2 Timothy, and if I can, in chapter 3. chapter 3. In chapter 3, just verse 1, know also that in the last time, days, perilous, dangerous, terrible, awful, difficult times shall come. And then it says, men shall be lovers of pleasure, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, etc. So the warning back there. Do you understand the day, the time? Are you discerning the time? Are you understanding it? Over to chapter 2. In chapter 2, in the light of the believing heart, Timothy in this case, but all believing hearts, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, for betterment, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. All of these different relationships involve a responsibility, and God has to help us through it. Verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. God help you understand. What did you do for David? I gave him 200 men that could understand the times and the seasons. I gave him some help. We're living today. Who understands everything going on? Hang on. Now, having said that, second, if you're still here in 2 Timothy, over to chapter 4. 2 Timothy in chapter 4. And picking up, if I may, and you'll note, picking up, if I can, verse 2, preach the word, instance, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. 4, the reason, why are you saying that to Timothy, etc.? 4, the time will come, verse 3, 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So God, you're looking. So you expect us to understand, and like in Colossians and that, God gives us understanding if we would but take it. So God, you got to help us. Here we are surrounded, and here's the system we live in, and the being surrounded as we were, and the days are evil, all those things. God, there's no question. I don't read anything that says good. I don't read anything that says pleasant. I don't see anything that says hang in there, it'll get better. I don't read that. You don't read that either. It's just not there. Not there. Now, hang on, in the light of that, and you remember in Hosea in chapter 1 when we did all those things, and Hosea told the 10 tribes in the north, among other things, that there was no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. They had no truth, they had no mercy, they had no knowledge of God. They just didn't have it. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in the light of that, and without turning there into Luke in chapter 8, and 18, I should say, in 8, you don't have to do that. But the Lord said, and that you know, we've said it every now and then, we say it to each other. And the Lord, God, what are you going to do? God, you're going to go and come, and you're going to come and... And if the Lord tarry, and he isn't, he's going to come at the right time. And will they, the body of truth, will I find the body of truth when I come? The truth, the Bible, the doctrine, you just read it in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Well, they don't want sound doctrine. So, well, am I going to come? Am I going to find that? No. No, a rhetorical question. No, I'm not going to find that. So, you're not going to find the body of truth when you come. No, no. So now, would you find that with Israel when they went into captivity? The 10 tribes? No. Did you find the body of truth active in the two tribes in the south, Jeremiah's day? No, no, not at all. So now, in the light of that, in the light of 1,000 things going on, that's probably an understatement, unfortunately. Now, so therefore, you are familiar. Let me just rehearse three or three things, because you know so many things. You know that the group in the Congress presented their 28-page document called The Secular Democrats of America, unquote. And they had their 28-page thing that they did, and they presented it to the president. And in the midst of all of that, 28 pages, it says this. Christians are anti-democratic, anti-scientific, and a national security threat, unquote. They presented that to the president. To tell him. Christians. Okay. So now, and Antonio Gramsci, I think that's how you say that, Italian, and founder of the Italian Communist and Marxist Party, he's the one that started cultural Marxism. We got communism. Communism's too drastic. Drastic, because why? Well, drastic. In the mid, using the word 1960, and at a year or two, and then go to 1965 and add a year or two, over 70 million people the Chinese killed. 70 million. We have 350 million in these United States, I think, and that's 20% of our population would be killed. The communists killed them. Wow. Did it. No problem at all. No problem. Anything in the way? So we can't use communism. No, we use Marxism. So as we don't want to, who wants to have that kind of understand? You know all those things with the Chinese and the Muslims and that they got one, all different little groups in China, you know, little cultures and things all over the place in little hills and valleys. And in the process, in one of those, is 1 or 2 million Muslims. And those Muslims are in concentration camp. And what do they do with the women? They give them to 2 million. How big is the army of China? It's 2 million men. 2 million. And they take those women and give them to the Chinese soldiers. What else do they do? They take their body parts and make billions of dollars selling body parts. Body parts all over the world. You understand that? That's communism. You can't talk like that. So we have to do what? We'll talk about another culture. Marxism. Why? Because we don't want to, no one's going to go with that, what we're doing if we say that, to kill everybody. So let's tell it, modify it. And what are we going to do? So we got Marxism. What did he say in particular in 1981? Socialism is precisely the religion that must, M-U-S-T, overwhelm Christianity, unquote. Socialism, they aren't going to go, you have to sneak into it. Socialism to get to communism. You sneak into it. And now that's in 1981. Now, in the process of that. So here's the, as you know, in the civil rights movement kind of thing, 1980, civil rights activists came along and taking the civil rights thing. And we had the people of color and the people of non-color, two groups. What's the whole point? Division. division, division. As long as this power, the togetherness, we're Americans. We all agree with the Constitution and Declaration. It's our common oneness. That's what makes us all one for in our country. But if we put this aside and we don't know the Bible, where is our oneness? What binds us? What on earth binds us in this world? If this doesn't, then this country, hang on. Now, so here we are looking. And in the process, remember in 1964-65, you had the civil rights movement, birth of civil rights and all of that, legislation. And what did the civil rights legislation do? Well, like all things that we, in everything, I'll give you, you know these better than I do. And we're going to do a document to do something in the government, and we're going to write it, make a new law like they're doing. And we make a new law, and we're going to make this law. And then we go, and we have the report. It is Sunday night. We're going to give you the report. We're going to vote on it tomorrow morning. There's 7,000 pages in it. Have you read it? No. Did anyone read it? Does anyone know what the details are? No, we don't know what the details are. But we're going to vote on it. And when we vote on it, lo and behold, as the days go by and they pull out of it on page 85 what it says. And then it goes into action. The civil rights movement in 1964, it starts out, it looks good, perhaps, but what did it do? It eliminated this. And the civil rights movement became the second constitution. And therefore, this is put aside, and we proceed. And as we proceed and participate in all of these different things, so we have a movement. And what are we understanding? Are we understanding the First Amendment? No. Are we going to look at any of this? No. No, we aren't. In fact, this essentially is put aside. That's where we are right now. So what do we have? We only have the system that's doing something awesome to our whole country, let alone the whole world, happening. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and so all the courts, what do you know about, you've been all these things. If you hear any news, most of the news is horrible and very faulty, and you'll never know anything if you listen to the news generally. You'll never know anything. You'll think everything's wonderful. And now, in the process of that, here we are looking. And as we shared, the First Amendment and all of that, and here's the courts. What about the courts? Are the courts going to go by this? No, they aren't going by this. They're going by the second constitution, the civil rights, taking way over here, not as it is, taking it way off to do whatever they want with it. That's where you have, you remember equality legislation, equality. But actually, equality, that's for equal, that's for humans. But what did we do with equality? We made it equity. And that means that anyone that didn't get anything, they deserve to get it in fairness. Do you understand? Just in the law, it's just being fair. Everyone should have everything anyway, regardless of the laws. That's just equity. We're going to be able to do it. So now what do we got? Well, we've got going here, and here's the courts, and all the courts, we just went through it, we're going through it, and you want to fix the court. Well, the courts, are they going by this? No, they're going by what's out there. This is the new rules. This is the new norm, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we've got all that. And then what's Marxism do? What's the whole point? Division. the capitalist versus the worker. And in the process, how does the capitalist versus the worker historically? By revolution. Revolution. Revolt. You got to divide. You got to break it up. You can't have a United States of America. That's no good. That's no good. No good at all. Can't have that. Disunited. Multiculturalism, everything else out there. And we got that. So now, having said that and keeping that, and a new social order is needed. Absolutely, a new social order has to come into being. So, and here is, and then you got the terrible, terrible critical race theory that started in the 1990s and has been played and played and played and developed and developed and developed. And so here's a system. Here's the system going and the justice and all that kind of your courts. The courts should just do common law, good old historic common sense and constitution and history. We don't do that. Don't do that. So as we keep going down the corridor now of time, and what are we looking for? What are they looking for? What's the system looking for that's operating around us? We're surrounded by. What's the system? Control by fear. To disrupt everything, so there's only one way you come together. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you could, so if you have any questions to the system, do we answer factual, logical, common sense argument about what is right and wrong? No, we don't do that. We don't do that at all. That's out of the question. You don't answer anything. You eliminate anything that causes you to want, that wants you to answer. You eliminate it, plain eliminate it. Don't let it happen. That's why all the people die in China. You can't afford to say that everyone's monitored. In fact, I read the thing, you know all this stuff. And the process that they're doing, they're coding them. Everyone's coded to with a number. And they're measuring everything they do, where they buy their food, or what they, how much they get paid at work and everything. They're doing all of that. And if your score measures up to the system, communist system, you get a reward. If your score is low, too bad. They're scoring everybody. Isn't that what they're trying to do now? Someone told me, I don't know how true it is, over there with gas and everything, with carbon, driving your car, they're going to measure your carbon usage. And if they measure, everyone's car will have a little monitor to measure the carbon and whatever the carbon. And in the process, if your carbon is out of whack, thumbs down. You have to make sure your carbon is just right. You can't drive more than you should. Wow. Control. Control, conform, all of it. Now, is that so? Making everything disruptive, so we can't have a united, healthy constitution practice, historic American, set for 200 and so years. No, we can't do that. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so and you can't afford, as we mentioned on Wednesday, you can't go and the gay and all the lesbian things and those things, and they're out there, and you can't afford, you. That's why you can't argue, you can't debate it. Because if I allow you to talk to me about the logic, you're either male or female, if you allow me to pin that down, that puts me in jeopardy because I think I'm a tomato. And I can't afford to be thinking anything but tomatoes. So I don't care how common sense you are. I have to defend. You have to kill you even. I can't have anyone opposing what I believe. Do you understand? That's why they can't. It doesn't make any difference how wonderful common sense it is. Because you can't afford to do it because it puts a monkey wrench into what you're doing. The mixed marriages that shouldn't be and all that. It puts a terrible thing, and I can't afford to believe that. And you have to understand that. That's why people say, well, that's common sense. It doesn't matter whether it's common sense. They aren't going to do it. They can't afford to do it. No more than if you come to know the Lord as your Savior and your parents in illustration, and your parents are there, and your parents are whatever background they are, and they are very strongly into that, whatever you're doing, and they're doing that. And you come along and tell them they need to know the Lord as their Savior. And you open the Bible and tell them. Now, can they go with that? Why not? Because then that means they're going to condemn themselves for what they do. What they believe is wrong. So they can't afford to do it. They just can't afford to do it. And they won't. But hang in. I always told all those people, hang in there. Because give them in due season, they'll swing around in some form. I'm telling you, because they have nothing. You just keep eating ice cream and eat all the good food and God bless your heart. And they're going to look at you and they don't have any of that. So pretty soon they're going to begin to say, well, maybe my son or daughter is right, and get saved. Now, so having said that, and having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would. Now, and so here we're surrounded with all of these. And God, we need to look to you. Now, I got one other thing, at least a little bit, if we get a minute. In the light of that, there's all kinds of little things going on that tell us about the train going down the tracks and why it isn't going to stop. Why it isn't going to stop. And one of them has to do with our understanding. We're making continued progress in everything. The electronic age. True? It's a wonderful age. And so as the age proceeds electronically, we have advanced and advanced and advanced. And I'll try to illustrate it with time. If I can. Now, okay. A lot of stuff. There'll be another 25 minutes. Okay. Now, here's a cassette reel. Do you remember these? When we started in that building next door, they used to tape all my little mumblings on these bling. And you have a tape recorder, remember? Reel? Probably never see one. You probably never saw one. Okay? There it is. Now, what happened to the reel? What happened to the machine that this goes on? You can't find these except in a pawn shop or something. And you can't find the machines unless you go somewhere, Acorn or whatever that company is that has all that stuff, whatever it is. Well, we didn't get him. So now what? Well, we then went and we had these, remember these things? Okay, we got this thing. We've advanced. Now, and we've advanced. And here they are. Remember these? I still have these, though. Okay. You got these? Can you get these? No, these are out. These are out. It's all out. Okay. Oh, this is in. This is in? Oh, yay. For how long? Huh? How long? It's on its way out, isn't it? It's on its way out. Get a machine. What happened to the machine to play these things? I still have them, by the way. I have them. When I die, Jeanette's going to have a horrible time. I got stuff from when Davy Crockett was alive. And what can I tell you? It's horrible. Now, so, and then we go, and we've advanced to this little thing, whatever that is. Got it? Oh, and then, oh, wonder of wonders. There it is. There it is. Remember these big things? All replaced. Little thing, you plug it into your machine, right? And it has all the whole world in it. Wow. Now hang on. I want you to think of a ladder. And each of these is a rung. One, two, three. Going up the ladder. You with me? And as you go up the ladder, and you have to go up the ladder, because there's no sense in trying to keep hanging on to this. Do you understand? Because you can't do it anymore. You're freakish. You have to go. I don't know where you go. So it's all eliminated. The rung on the ladder is gone. And the next rung, you have to keep going up. And each time you go up, the rung below you disappears on the ladder. Now, how can you back down? You can't. Do you understand? The whole system is you can't back down. That's the whole point. Technology is king. And it's taken us down the road, and you can't go back down. The genie has been let out of the bottle, and he isn't going back in. Do you understand? Progress. It's taking us somewhere. And the people in power that know it are using it, abusing it. It's happening. How do you stop this? You can't go back down. You can't retreat. Do you understand? You're forced to what? Go forward. And, by the way, I'll do it a different way. Now, do you like our general lifestyle for this electronic age? And we have a television, and televisions are old-fashioned, and then you have other computer and the Googles and all those different things. And you got all those different things out there, the websites and the smart watches and smartphones and smart everything. And you got all of those things, wonderful things, aren't they? Wow. What happens if right now I could speak and make them all go away, and you had no more television, no more television, no more smartphone, no more texting or anything else, what would you do? Really? Could you let it all go right now? Could you let that go? No. Our lifestyle has become our life. Do you understand? The life of people isn't in here. It's in their lifestyle. And our lifestyle keeps climbing on that ladder till you're going to hit Revelation 13. You can't buy or sell. You're going to keep going. That's what's doing. No question about it. You can't stop it. That's my point. And that's just one item of a list that you cannot. We're headed there, oblivion, from a human standpoint. And you can't stop it. So all of the wonderful things we should be doing to try to help and care and do all of these things, and we ought to do it. Thank God for people. The books are written all over the place. I don't know who has time to read all the books that are being written. Wow. But who's reading them, and what can you do to fix anything? How do you fix the cord? How do you fix it when the top won't let you fix it? You're stuck. Do you understand? We're stuck. And it isn't going to change. And it isn't going to change because you can vote differently, which may or may not happen, if you can ever vote again. God, it isn't going to change. No, it isn't. And what the little list could give you, like this one. Here's this one. We aren't willing to change our lifestyle. No one wants to go backwards. You can't go backwards anyway. They won't let you. You buy equipment. You got equipment, I bet. And you go and get it fixed, and they don't make the parts anymore. They don't make the parts. They don't make the thing anymore. You're stuck. The world's going up, up, up. and you can't stop it. That's what I want you to see. So all of the things you care about and want, we're moving. No constitution. The system is taking us. And it isn't going to go away, and it isn't going to disappear, because all of the countries, the major countries of the world, are on this same page. The Great Reset, all of these things, Canada, our own country, they're all in it. They aren't changing. It's the system. You need to see that. We're surrounded by this. And if you don't, and we're going to, well, I can't do any more because time. If you're going to say, you're going to move, and we'll adjust. That's right. You'll adjust to the gas prices. You'll adjust to the food. You'll adjust to the rules, new regulations. You're going to adjust to them. That's what you do. It's your lifestyle. And as long as you can have what you're getting, we're going to be content. Whatever, that's what we're going to do. It isn't like it should be. No, it isn't a question of that. Now, having said that, I got to go on the positive side. I'm helping you a little bit. I'm trying to help you understand. Of 100 things you could say up here, and you know them better than I do. I'm just trying to tell you, man, it's something else. I think it's something else. I think it's exceedingly exciting because, you know, Jeanette says you're going to see the news. It's the same news. I said, no, it isn't the same news. Nope. I hit a new thing today, a new thing. They're changing the rules, changing how everything's going. And they're doing it. Who's stopping it? No one's stopping it. See, we just know it, but we can't stop it. So having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, let me go and do it a little differently. Because I said you're surrounded, and we are. We are certainly surrounded. You would like to get out of this? No, it'll only be the next thing after this. And you'll be stuck with having it, whatever they do. And you don't have any choice. If they want to monitor your banking system and everything else, your family, what you eat, they're already doing that anyway, aren't they? The companies are already programmed. They're testing they got all kinds of stuff. The only thing they don't know that I exist because I don't have a computer. Now, having said that, you would think of Noah. Was Noah surrounded? How many good things did Noah could look out there around him as he's building the ark for 120 years? And looking around, how many things are there that are so wonderful and he could go to their little parties and everything? No, he couldn't. There's nothing pleasant out there. He's surrounded by it, and he's building the ark. Now, having said that, and he's building the ark, and then there's Abraham. And Abraham, Genesis, that is a rich man. The word rich is the same as the first word in the Old Testament of glory. Glory. Old Testament rich. Glory. Wealth, worth, weight. And Abraham has 318 men. He is loaded with gold and silver and animals. But no one's touching him. You don't read anywhere where anyone, 318 men. Here's all the kings going to go take Sodom and Gomorrah. But the kings don't touch him. God, you're watching over him. Absolutely. Therefore, and here's Job. Go over there. Job chapter 1. And in Job chapter 1, if I can find it. And picking up, please, what do you know? Remember, as we put the same scenario together, Noah, whatever it is, here's Job in the days of Abraham. And Job chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect, complete, whole, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth, hateth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, verse 9, and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? What did you understand, Mr. Satan? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, about his house, about all that he hath, on every side? Hast thou blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? God, you can't get him. Couldn't get Abraham. You can't get Job. Can't get Job. No, no, you can't. Why? God, what'd you do? I surrounded him. But we're surrounded with all the bad guys. True. But you're surrounded. Job is surrounded. So all the bad guys have to look at God, at the wall. Wall, Isaiah 26. At the wall God puts saving grace around the heart. How do you get through it? Wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to 2 Kings. And in 2 Kings, as you would note, Second Kings, and in chapter 6. And you recall, just quickly, you'll catch it. Remember, the king of Israel is being attacked by the Syrians in the north, and in the process, and the Syrians are coming down, and God sends a message to the king of Israel not to go to this part of the country, stay out of it, because that's where the Syrians are coming. So don't go there, don't go there. And so the king smartly paid attention to God's message, and he checked it out, and hit the place, and you'll have it in verse 10. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once but twice. So here comes the Syrian army down to fight, and they aren't there. And then they come down a second time to fight, and the Israelites are not there. They're not there. And the king of Assyria wants to know, why? He finds out a prophet of God had warned the king of Israel. Therefore, you remember, he sent and found it was Elisha, and in the process, he sent all these troops, this big army. And picking up, if I can, and in verse 13, and he said, go and spy and say, where is he that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore, verse 14, sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city round about. Here's the city, as you know, completely surrounded. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city. Surrounded, completely surrounded. Elijah, you can't get out. You're completely surrounded. Both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? We can't get out of here. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, a mountain was full, the mountain was full of chariots, full of horses and chariots of fire, round about Elisha. Now, how are you going to get him? I remember Dr. Ebeling, bless his heart, missionary to China, years ago, telling me, in one of the incidents in his life, I told you these things, and in the process, and Dr. Ebeling said, yeah, we were cornered. They came in to get us, the Chinese little group of believers. we all went in the house and got down on our knees and prayed. And we prayed because they surrounded the house. They surrounded the house, and we knew we were done. But we asked God. And all of a sudden, the hoopla and all the noise and all the shouting became very quiet. And nothing. So we got up off our knees, as it were, and looked. And they were all gone. They were all gone. And we don't know why. Until a young man that was out there saw it and said, "They were going to take you. But when they saw all the chariots of fire around the house, they ran, understandably. They ran away. Because what are you going to do when the chariots of fire are there?" Got it? Does God take care of his people in the light of being surrounded? And we are surrounded. Absolutely. Then therefore, I need to be surrounded and you need to be surrounded so that we can handle being surrounded. Did that come out all right? Therefore, if I may, in the light of Elijah, we aren't far away, not too far. Psalm 27, David, come to our rescue. In Psalm 27, and you will notice, David, you're going to tell me? David, I want to know how you ever made it. Because they were out to get David, but David, you couldn't get him. God blessed him. God blessed Moses. Chapter 27, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my life, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, a whole war, in this will I be confident. What is that, David? What are you so confident about? One thing, verse 4, have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after. What is that? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and be inquire into his temple. For, verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. God, you're going to keep God's people? Absolutely. They're surrounded. If I don't understand I'm surrounded, I'm caught in a system. If I understand what I'm up against, I'm looking to not get attached to the whole dumb thing. I don't want to get caught up with where it's going. I want to be able to stand firm and straight down the line, right down the line. Well, I don't want to get caught in the stupid thing. It's not going anywhere, not that train. They're going the wrong way. Wow. So now, having said that, over to Psalm 32. David, say it to us again. Psalm 32, you recall, picking up in verse 7. I'll read verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the flood of great waters they shall come nigh. They shall not come nigh unto him. There's the surrounded by the bad guys. But, verse 7, thou, my hiding, art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. How so? Thou shalt compass me. The word compass is to surround. Thou shalt compass me, surround me about with songs of deliverance. God, you're going to be saving me and saving me, and that's what you said you'd do. You keep saving me. And that's what you're going to do. So I'm surrounded by all the bad guys, disease, sickness, death, just being alive on planet Earth. But I'm not caught up in my lifestyle. I'm caught up in my life. There's a difference. You have to be saved to be caught up in your life, his life. If you're not saved, you can't do that. You can be religious up to here, but you can't do it. You can be churchy up to here. It won't do it. Christ does it. God does. He's the saving grace that we look to. So now, having He surrounded us, over if I can, in closing, over to Ephesians. I hope you got a little bit. I tried to tell you, to help you, so in case you don't see the news, you'll know a little bit. Ephesians and chapter 3. And you will notice, please, God, you surround us with yourself. Uh-huh, I do. And without going into the awesome wonderfulness of it, just like we looked at this morning but could never finish, to see, God, you surround us, and the sorrow has filled our heart, and the trouble is there's no room for all of these wonderful things to understand. There's no room in my head for that. I got all these things I have to think and worry about and work out. That's too bad. That's too bad. You have to make room so you understand. Therefore, Ephesians chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, understand. You need to understand the times in which you live. Do you understand? Don't you discern? Are you able to discern what's happening? 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be what? Filled with all the fullness of God. So God, we're in the middle of it, right in the middle of you. And you said that 1,000 times to us in all kinds of different ways. We keep looking at it, reading it in your word, and you're there. We're hidden. Our life is hid, Colossians 3, in Christ. Where are we hidden? In Him. We're sitting in the middle of you, God. That's right. And God, you're able. Where are we? Here comes all the bugs, disease, everything's there. But God, what are you going to do? I'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is resting on me. And I don't want you to worry, Ephesians 4, 6, or want. I don't want you to do that. You're surrounded. Aha! Except that which surrounds us, God, God's grace. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Christ in you, and you in Christ. Unique relationship. Now tell me, who's going to get you? No, that's why we read on Wednesday that Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God be for you, the word for on your behalf, looking down, the word is a little preposition, looking down to protect you, looking down to protect you. If God be for you, who can be against you? And the word against you does come down to get you. Who can come down and get you? Because they're going to hit God first. And they aren't about to hit God. They aren't going to do that. They can't do it. Only to what God wants. And by the way, well, we're protected. Except Job, is Job protected? But God, you allowed the disease and all kinds of things to happen. Family, friends, enemies. We just read it in Luke 12. The system isn't for me. It's evil. You've got evil in your heart. It's your old nature. So, God, you got to help us. And in the process, God is able to go and protect us and keep us. But Job, you're going to let things happen? I am. But don't worry about it. You know, Matthew 10, I got to quit. Matthew 10, man. All they can do is kill you. They can't touch you inside. They can never touch you. All they can do is get your mind and your heart. That's why be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think. Think right. Understand. That's what we're seeking to do. Otherwise, you just got a nice little message. And that little message isn't going to last going out the door, probably. Nope, I got to get a handle on this. I'm in the battle. You're in the battle. We're smack dab in the middle of it, surrounding us. But God, we're in the middle of you. That's what we're doing here, isn't it? We're in the middle of you. I gotta quit. Appreciate your patience and all of that, and thank you. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And God, as we look to you, even so come, because that's what you told us. Time has nothing to do with it. You're just going to come at the right moment to do the right thing in the right way at the right time for your honor and glory. And God, that's where we are. We're little lights in the darkness. God, help us. In Christ's name, amen.